This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're going to get Matt Scraby for just a little bit longer here on 97.3 The Fan. Chris is en route to his hotel in Baton Rouge. He is with the Aztecs women's basketball team, and they're going to be playing their first round game against LSU Saturday night, and it's on ESPN. So I believe the game starts at 7:15 p.m. Pacific. And I am going to try and remember to tweet out a link to Chris's play-by-play that you can listen to on YouTube, because that's how I listened to their Mountain West championship over Wyoming. And if you want a hometown guy who's going to be excited about the Aztecs women's team, you're going to want to listen to Chris, because he is very excited about this. And earlier I was telling something about Chris, and then Tony told us about Gavin Sheets, which if you just listen to Padres Pen Pals, and you don't know, Gavin Sheets has been selected to the 40-man roster for the Padres, which doesn't actually guarantee him to be on the opening day roster, but he is on the 40-man roster, which definitely makes it a million times easier for them to put him on the opening day roster. And they moved Joe Musgrove to the 60-day IL. So him being on the 40-man roster, again, doesn't guarantee that he's going to be on the team on opening day, but it does give us a pretty good indication as to what the Padres are thinking about Gavin Sheets. And Gavin Sheets was one of the most impressive interviews that we did earlier this week. We still have the Daily Gambit to go. I have this news story about the Daily Gambit because no one's here to make bets with me, so I'm just going to review the bets we did yesterday. But I have this news story out of Chicago about a man who thought he won a sports bet, but then he didn't win the sports bet, and it's just really another danger of gambling to me, because this is a story that I think is really, really stupid, and it makes me never want to gamble again. But we'll talk about that in just a second. The final between McNeese and Clemson, McNeese ends up beating Clemson 69-67. Now, it was much closer than it should have ever been, because McNeese was up 31-13 after the first half, but Clemson scored 54 points to McNeese's 38 points in the second half. But if you pick Clemson, your bracket is busted. And a lot of people apparently picked Clemson. I picked McNeese for no apparent reason at all, but it's going to work out for me. It's going to work out for me right now, at least. We'll see how it goes going forward. But the Georgia and Gonzaga game is underway in the second half. 15:44 left in that half, or in that game. Gonzaga 58-36. If you didn't listen earlier, Georgia had a completely awful start to the game, and it was with 11:01 left in the first half. Gonzaga was leading Georgia 30-5. So Georgia has done some scoring here in the second half of the first half, and now they're trying to make up the deficit, but it's going to take a lot for them to come back and win this game. Gonzaga 58-36, and BYU on their way to a win in the first round over VCU. BYU leads 70-55. 3:54 left to go in the second quarter there. Now, some of the other games: Auburn beat Alabama State 83-63. Houston beat SIU Edwardsville 78-40. Montana lost to Wisconsin 85-66. Purdue beat High Point, which is not a high point for my bracket, 75-63. And Creighton started everything off this morning with a win over Louisville, 89-75. I picked Louisville, so it wouldn't be a bracket if you weren't busted after the first game of the day. That's just how all of that works. We still got the Big Five to go, and coming up in about 15 minutes or so, I'm going to be talking with MLS season pass analyst Giovanni Savarese. We're going to talk about SDFC and how they've started. SDFC has 8 points right now on the table, and they are in second place in the Western Conference. So that is... It's definitely a lot higher than I think a lot of people thought it would be. But San Diego, right now, 8 points. St. Louis, 8 points. Colorado, 8 points. But San Diego has not lost a game yet. So they are still playing very well. And we'll talk to Giovanni Savarese here in just a little bit. But first, we need to go through all the bets that we did yesterday.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Now, I would like to start with one other thing. And I appreciate everybody who signed up for the bracket or tried to sign up for the bracket. I tried to make it easy. I went back to the drawing board after our whole Survivor Pick'em thing. And how we couldn't find the winner because ESPN didn't allow me to, like, message anyone, even though I was the manager of the entire group. Anyway, so I tried to make it a little bit different, and then apparently ESPN's password that I gave them wasn't working. If you signed up, really appreciate you for signing up. If you tried to sign up, really appreciate you trying to sign up. I'm sorry that it wasn't as easy as I hoped for. We'll probably go back to the drawing board again, trying to figure this whole mass bracket thing out. Mass interactive gambling type thing. I don't know what to call it, but thank you to everybody who at least tried. All right, Xavier, last night, -2.5 over Texas. Chris and Tony chose Texas. I chose Xavier. Xavier wins 86-80. UCSD women last night, 3.5-point favorites over Southern. And we all chose UCSD. Southern ended up winning this one 68-56, so we all lose that one. Suns were 6-point favorites over the Bulls. We all chose the Bulls. Suns won 127-121, so we push on that one. Neither side wins. Now, Lakers and the Nuggets last night, over under a total score of 231 points. We all went under, and we were all correct by just a little bit. The Lakers won this game 121-108, so that's 228 combined points in that one. So under was the winner there. Purdue, they played High Point. As I said, High Point is not, you know, is in my bracket. It didn't make my bracket look good. Purdue, 7.5-point favorite. They won by 12, 75-63. So they win that bet. We lose that bet. All of us chose High Point. Houston, all of us chose them in the game against SIU Edwardsville. Houston, a 28.5-point favorite. Houston covered. They ended up winning by 38, 78-40. So we have that one. And the only other one we have right now is Gonzaga and Georgia. Gonzaga coming into the game, a 6.5-point favorite. Chris and I chose Georgia. Tony chose the Zags. And right now, the Zags are up by 20, 58-38, with 14:30 left to go in the second half. So if Georgia can make a comeback, that might help a little bit. Oh, they made a three. They're only down 17 now. So who knows? Maybe Georgia can get back into that game and help everyone out a little bit. Now for this story about betting. I am very concerned about the future of sports betting if this stuff is allowed to continue. The American Gaming Association estimates that there's going to be about $3.1 billion in bets this year. A suburban dad in Chicago, Mark Aiello, he felt ripped off. He felt like $400,000 was taken out of his pocket. And the reason that is because BetMGM voided his bet after the fact. So he was saying that he made a few bets. He's not a big bettor, although he plays 400-500 assists by certain players, and he made a six-leg parlay. But if you're not a real bettor, then why are you making a six-leg parlay with big bets like $500? So I don't necessarily believe that he's not a big-time bettor or gambler, because that's jumping right in. But he had a parlay that it hit for him. He said he looked at his BetMGM app. He said that he thought he won $389,000. He said he was going to put it away for his daughter's future college education. So then he went back to look at the app to see, is this true? And then he looks and he sees that everything was grayed out, and his bets had been canceled just minutes before tip-off. And who did this? BetMGM did this. BetMGM canceled it without his knowledge about just minutes before tip-off is what they're saying. So I can't even give you a right time, but minutes before tip-off. And they said, when he contacted them to ask them why they took the money out of his account and voided his bet, is because they said they have obvious errors. It's an obvious errors clause. So an obvious error of incorrect or inflated odds per the house rule. Now, the CBS News, who picked this up, actually, the CBS News in Chicago actually contacted BetMGM multiple times about this obvious error case, because, shocker, this isn't the first one that the person that this has happened to, and CBS News did not get any sort of answer from BetMGM at all. And this has happened not only to this one guy, another guy, and at least three people have said that they have submitted their bets in time, they have received the receipt for the bets, and then all of a sudden they are not going to get the money for the bets. So they need some sort of regulatory body. They need some sort of regulatory system to figure this out, because it is not how it's supposed to work. This is not how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to be able to trust these people if you're going to give them money, and they can basically do whatever they want. BetMGM is not in the wrong because of the way their terms and services are. So next time you bet, make sure you understand the terms and services. Also, make sure that you understand, you know, what you're getting into and whether or not they can void your bets and all that. Just be smart, stay ahead of everything, and I think you'll be okay. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit SDFC. Chris has made it to the hotel, so we'll get him all hooked up. More to come on 97.3 The Fan. All right, back here in studio, Chris Ello setting up everything in his hotel room as we speak. But we're going to talk a little bit of soccer right now, talk a little bit of football right now. And, you know, going forward, we're going to try to have someone on from the MLS season pass, an analyst each week to break down what's going on with SDFC. And this week we are proud and happy to have Giovanni Savarese here on the show with us. He is the MLS Spanish language analyst for Apple TV. Giovanni, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be in your show.
Thank you. Thank you. And I know that you had like 20 years of playing experience, and it honestly looks like you could still play today. But when you're when you're announcing, do you ever get the itch to go down there and, like, I don't know, do something just to prove to yourself you still have it?
Of course you do. That never goes away from your system. I think the only thing that once you become a coach, then you forget a little bit the playing part. But definitely when you're in the studio, you know, you're looking at the game and you have still sensations about the game, about coaching and all that. But we love the job that we do. We love about, you know, announcing and providing information to fans.
I love it. We're talking to Giovanni Savarese from the MLS season pass Spanish language analyst. And SDFC, they have 8 points. and they have been impressive, more impressive than I thought to start the season. How impressive for you has the start been for the team, and could a result like what they did against Columbus be an indication of how good this team is?
I think we, you know, from the beginning, we didn't have an idea exactly how SD was going to look like. We heard things about, you know, that we're trying to mirror a little bit Columbus. This is the idea. We heard, you know, those comments. I had the chance to be able to watch one of the games in preseason, and in that match, I was surprised in a good way because I saw a team that had the ideas clear in what they wanted to do and how they wanted to play. And I think it's no surprise how they started the season. A lot of credit to the coach, to the, you know, the front office. I think they brought the players with that idea, and you can see it on the field. And lately, these past few years, LAFC, St. Louis, they have kind of, you know, gave us an understanding that even though now you are a new team, you can compete from the beginning. So I'm not surprised about San Diego. Actually, I feel that it is, you know, a good thing that they have come into the league the way they have, and they have gotten some good results. And against Columbus specifically, as you mentioned, you know, in some way playing against a team that they mirror, I thought that they looked very good in the second half. I thought that they got a little bit confidence. I thought that San Diego got the bravery in the second half to go at a team that maybe they fear a little bit at the beginning of the first half, and it showed that that they can compete even with the best in Major League Soccer. So it is great to see that. It's great for the city of San Diego to have a team that way, and credit, as I said before, to the coaching staff and to the front office, because it looks like, you know, that the ideas were clear. And I don't think that they are still at the top. I think this is just the beginning of the process, and I think everybody should be excited about it.
Yeah, I think everybody here in town is very excited about it. We're talking to MLS Spanish language analyst for Apple TV, Giovanni Savarese, right now on 97.3 The Fan. You just talked about the coaching staff and how good of a job they have done. You were both a head coach and a player. You coached for the Portland Timbers, and so you have an idea of what it's like to be in charge of one of these teams. And Mikey Varas had a pretty difficult task of establishing culture to this expansion team. Can you go through a little bit how that is to take the job and then try to build something that reflects your personality?
Yes, I think with that, usually you have, you know, two things. One is when you arrive to a club that already exists, that already has a roster, the way I came into Portland. So you have to maybe change some of the, you know, the thoughts that you had at the beginning, but not going away tomorrow from it. A little by little, bring the team to that, or start everything from the beginning, from you know, from scratch, which I had the fortune to do with New York Cosmos a few years ago, and San Diego did that this season. And as I said, the ideas were clear in the way the team wanted to look like, in the way the coaching staff in the front office envisioned this project. They brought the proper players from overseas, from in within, to build that. And at the beginning, it's all what you said. It's about building the culture. It's about guiding the players to understanding the system and the way you want to play. And once you get that, you know, you work game by game to make sure that you make the adjustments. What I think is great is that things have worked out quite, you know, quickly for San Diego. I think that has to do with the fact that they brought the right type of players, and I think some players that have a good tactical understanding, that have adapted very well. And then some, you know, some players that are young as well, like Angel, that has, you know, have adjusted themselves into the team in a very good way. So I think things are looking very optimistic in the way things are building up in San Diego.
Yeah, we're talking to Giovanni Savarese from the MLS Spanish Language Analyst for Apple TV. And I'm admittedly not the biggest soccer expert in the world, but the games that I've watched so far with SDFC, it seems like they attack a lot. And I don't know if that is different from other teams or if that's their identity. What are you seeing from them on their offensive side?
No, it's very clear the tactical mind that the team has or the way they play. They mirror very much Columbus with a few different things. They are a team that play with three in the back. The goalkeeper participate in the build-up. They have two defensive mid that they come and drop in. And all is about trying to play through the middle, dropping a lot of players, making sure that they can bring more of opposition pressure in order to be able to find spaces either behind of the forwards or behind of the midfielders. Sometimes in that build up, they can go direct into having fullbacks go all the way in behind or even finding forwards in order to build up already and already beating pressures of line that are a little bit closer to the defensive line. And once they get into, good areas, then, they have some good pattern plays to be able to get some crosses in. And that's, when they have the ball. Sometimes they go a little deeper and they go a little bit more in fast transition into attack. We saw that especially against the Galaxy in the second half. That's how they got the two goals with Dreyer. Doing very, very well with Angel in the particular game, providing some assists. So it's very clear the way the team is playing. And I think, as I said before, they brought the players that they needed in order to be able to, play the way that they're playing. With Godot in the middle, which I think is doing a phenomenal job in being a leader. And players, all around all positions that have a good understanding in what Mikey Vargas wants to, to show in his style of play.
That was a great answer. Thank you for that. I'm going to go back and listen to that a couple times so I can pick up on everything. But final question, Giovanni. You've been around MLS for a very, very long time. You've seen it start, you've seen it grow, and now you're seeing it here. Did you ever imagine it would be 30 teams at some point, or is this kind of how you thought it was going to go when it first started up?
No, we were very excited in 1994, 95, when we were looking into, how this league it was going to look like in 96. We were fortunate enough to participate right away from the first match of MLS and see the direction that the league was taking. At the beginning, it was very exciting. It took a little bit, a way back into more difficult times. But all of us that were at that time in Major League Soccer, when we had 10 teams and 12 and back to 10, we only had, a mindset of, we got to work hard in order to make this league grow. And I think we were fortunate that the right people managed the league and there were some brave investors that definitely believe in the direction, but never, always had hope. Very big hopes in the league, but never thought that there were going to be 30 teams. Never thought that that we were going to get into this level, and that every team, the majority of the team, they have soccer specific stadiums. That the infrastructure of the practice facility is amazing, and that in order to get into the league, you have to pay a lot of money order to be one of the because right now the league has grown so much, and I just think that this is just the beginning of what we're going to see in the future. I think it's going to continue to grow. There's a lot more to come. We saw that there's new rules coming in right now in which teams can buy teams, players from other teams, like Kansas City did, like other teams did, like Cincinnati with Evander. So these are great new rules that are going to make just, the league more competitive. And we're all excited. But definitely, the ambition that we had back then surpassed so far our imagination.
I love it. San Diego's definitely ready for an MLS team, and we appreciate you coming on the air here in San Diego and spending time with us. Thanks so much, Giovanni.
It's a pleasure, and enjoyed. Take care.
You too. That was Giovanni Savarese here from MLS, Spanish language analyst for the I got to get that right. It's MLS, Spanish language analyst for Apple TV. There we go. Whew. But Giovanni was great. That was awesome. I learned a lot. I don't know about all of you. I've been really enjoying talking to these guys just because I don't really have anyone I can go to be like my soccer expert. You know, I have baseball experts. I have a guy named Tony Gwynn Jr. and a guy named Chris Ello that I could. I can't believe I just lumped in Chris with the baseball expert, but I can go to them to ask questions. I don't really have many places I could go for soccer, and so it's been nice to be able to talk with these guys, the MLS season pass analysts, and he specifically is Spanish language. So thank you again to Giovanni Savarese. I can't also say the last name because he said, I always ask before we go on just so I get it right. And Savarese is how you say it, and I should have spelled it phonetically. And these are all things that just come to me as I'm talking, and so I should probably just be quiet and go to break and stop talking about the mistakes that I make. And on the other side, I'm going to try to track down Chris Ello and see where he's at. And if he's not ready to go, we're going to hear from some of the guys from spring training. We never really got to comment on anything that was said in the interviews from spring training. So a little bit of a fluid show here, but Chris is on his way. Tony is on his way back. We'll be back shortly here with more Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. If you love Mediterranean food, you should try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For takeout or dining options, visit spiroscuisine.com. Matt Scraby with you, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Kind of an extended, somewhat mixed Scraby show with Gwynn and Chris. I have a Scraby show tonight, but it's going to be a little bit shorter. We're going to have the Padres on the station tonight, so get used to these night games. Unfortunately, that means that Scraby Show season is going out of style for a little bit. But I will say this. I'm going to try to do more during the season for the Scrabinators because Scrabinators have demanded more, and I think that they should demand more. It keeps me on my toes. If you want to be a Scrabinator, you don't have to pay any money or you have to sign up anywhere. You just have to listen to the Scraby Show and Gwynn and Chris and the station. And you just have to be a good person. That's all you need. So if you want to be a Scrabinator, there you go. We're going to have a Scrabinator game. I announced that on the Scraby Show a couple weeks ago. We have found the date of the third Scrabinator game, which is where I invite all of you to sign up. And then we go through and we randomly pick people to see, or we randomly pick people, and then they get to come into the Odyssey suite with me for one of those games. And I even went to bat for all of you because I got a lot of suggestions of let's do a night game because I can't. I work, or I'm a teacher, or I'm a parent, and I totally understand that. So this year I said, let's try to at least do one night game, and we got a night game. I will not reveal the date just yet, but it is in the first 2 months of the season, and we got a night game. So that is fun stuff. I need to start getting planning for the Scrabinator game number 3. I want to do more cool stuff, get better each and every time. So the Padres are at home to the Rangers tonight, and here's the lineup for the Padres that looks pretty close to what I think we're going to see on opening day, if not identical to what we're going to see on opening day. And it goes like this. Lead off, Luis Arraez. Batting second, Fernando Tatis Jr. Batting third, Jackson Merrill. Manny Machado cleaning up. Jake Cronenworth hitting fifth. Xander Bogaerts hitting sixth. Gavin Sheets DHing, hitting seventh. Jason Hayward hitting eighth in left field. And then Elias Diaz catching for the Padres, hitting ninth. But I'm pretty sure that is one of the... That actually... I would predict to be an opening day lineup right there. You got Chris Sale most likely on the mound, unless they've... Oh, they did already announce that Chris Sale is going to be the starter for that game against the Padres. And Chris Sale on the mound. You're going to have Jason Hayward in there. But Arraez, Tatis, Merrill, Manny Machado, Jake Cronenworth, Xander Bogaerts, Gavin Sheets, Jason Hayward, and Elias Diaz. Now, when we were out there, we talked to Jackson Merrill, and one thing that always surprises me about pro athletes is that they're always much, much taller than you think they are. because they're also usually around a bunch of other tall individuals. But Jackson Merrill sat down with us, and I really appreciate Jackson Merrill's perspective on things. And the reason I do appreciate it is because he is someone who, he's so young, but he has wisdom. And I really wish I had some sort of wisdom when I was young and 21, 22 years old, because I really could have used it. But the fact that he has this sort of mentality in his second major league season is pretty incredible, because after a season like he had last year, where he overperformed and outperformed everyone's expectations by a lot, 24 home runs, 292 average, 90 RBIs. That is a rookie year that no one saw coming. And that can, you know, for other guys, can go to their head. Hey, I'm actually pretty good. And I'm not saying that other guys aren't working in the offseason, but Jackson Merrill has the mindset that he needs to make the team. Now, in the interview with us, he did say, yes, I know that I am going to be on the team, but I still want that in my head that I don't really have a guaranteed spot, because if I don't have a guaranteed spot, then it drives me towards getting better, and it drives me to play better. So that's the mindset that I think Jackson Merrill is incredible with, and it just tells me, and I keep saying this on the Scraby Show, if you're not familiar, during 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays, it's like, this is the reason the Padres held on to him for so long, because he is a guy that gets it, and that's important. So here is Jackson Merrill, actually. You saw in the lineup, he's hitting between Fernando and Manny at the three spot. And so Tony and Chris asked Jackson Merrill about hitting between those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I've been kind
actually,
of chill on my work.
I'm sorry about that. That was the wrong one. This is Jackson Merrill actually talking about handling the success. And then after that, we'll get to the Manny and Fernando one. But as I said, Jackson Merrill handles the success very well. How is he going to handle the success going into year two?
Yeah, I mean, I've been kind of chill in my work. You know, I've been leading up to a season that I know is going to be long. Last year in spring training, it was go, 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 go. Like, get all in. You got to make it. And now that it's like, I kind of have a little bit more comfortability, you know. In my mind, it's not like that. Like, I want to make the team still. But I know in longer terms, I do have some more comfortability. You know, I'm going to be out there every single day in center field. But for me, it's just like, why build on something that was so good when you can just subtly make it better by just playing harder? You know, like, for me, it was like grinding out more ABs that I needed to grind out, not swinging as much. I like how much I swing, don't get me wrong. I'm a hitter, you know. Right. I'm not a walker, I'm a hitter. But at the same time, you know, taking some walks that could help us individually and then steal a bag, you know, could be better than just rolling one over and putting a bat on a ball. So, you know, I don't think there's too many areas where I should really hone it in and really get so much better. I'd rather just, like, continue to grow in my game and let it all flow together, you know. But staying more humble with how I was playing last year is helpful from Manny and Toddy. You know, I got guys that are doing it for the last 10 years, one. But then also, like, Manny had more home runs than me. He had probably more doubles than me. Like, he was raking, too. So it helps when there's people around you doing the same thing. It makes you want to play up to their level as well.
I mean, that answer is one of a veteran, and he's right. It does help when someone is not who's experiencing success that maybe you didn't expect for them to experience success so early. It does really help that someone doesn't take themselves too seriously, because that can be a cancer in a locker room if someone starts, you know, getting a big head and a big ego and all that. And that's not what Jackson Merrill is at all, and he's the first one to say, Manny's been here for a lot longer than I have. He has more home runs, more doubles, he's raking. And I think that's a really important perspective to have. Also, here is, you know what, I'm gonna go to traffic, because I cannot get this clip to open. I am being honest with you, but we have some traffic. I'm gonna open up this clip, and on the other side, we are going to talk about, Jackson Merrill's gonna talk about hitting between Manny and Fernando.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego.
How much do you have for retirement in your tax-deferred accounts? Whether it's $100,000 or several million, you'll pay real taxes when you need it. Go to easemytaxbill.com and find out how much money you really have and how much you may save if you're smart. easemytaxbill.com. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, back here with you. As you heard Kelly Danik say, Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. I'm Matt Scraby. We are going through some of what we talked to Padres about when we were out at spring training because we did not get to break down any of these things. And Jackson Merrill was with us. He had a lot of great things to say. He also, you know, is in a spot where if you were to tell someone that they were going to be in this spot years and years ago, they would have told you that you're crazy, but he's in a spot where he's hitting between Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado, and that's like a dream scenario for a lot of people. But Jackson Merrill was asked by Tony and Chris about hitting between those guys and what it means to him.
It's also just exciting. You know, I hit second pretty much my whole minor league career. I hit leadoff for a while, but mainly second. And, like, knowing you're getting up in that first inning,
yeah,
you know, it's a different mindset. I think when you're, like, hitting ninth in the order, it was like, I want to get up, but, like, that's not on me. It's on these guys to do that. But now knowing that I'm in that spot, you know, I'm getting up. I want the guy in the nine hole to get up in that same inning. So grinding that first AB, making the pitcher throw some pitches, you know, that's what I really need to start doing more and expanding. But for me, it's just, you know, it's fun. I'm fortunate to be in that three hole right now, and I don't want to get out of it. So
you mentioned that twice now. Seeing more pitches, grinding more at bats. How do you toe the line of being Jackson, who you know didn't necessarily do that last year, and also improving on that element of the game? Where is that line at?
You know, I just feel like I chased a lot of heaters. You know, I feel like I was on the heater, but then I'd be so on the heater that I'd see one up and I'd go for it. You know, I did it yesterday, too, in our game.
Eye candy.
It's just like you see the heater and you're like, heater, heater, heater. Oh, there it is. And then it's a ball and you're still swinging. So,
right.
You know, for me, I got to start being more on the heater, but able to look middle. You
gotcha.
Know? I'm looking for the heater middle, not the heater. The heater in the middle. That's what I'm looking for. So getting back to that, that's the main goal. And that'll help me walk more, take more pitches, and have better at-bats.
I love that. He's looking for the, I love that he just calls it a heater. He's looking for the heater down the middle. And I side note, I also love when Tony gets to talk baseball, like in the weeds, hitting baseball or baseball hitting. And when he's in the weeds with that, it's pretty awesome as well. But Jackson Merrill, we don't have to worry about him. We talked about it earlier in the week. Is there going to be some sort of sophomore slump with him? Obviously, we can't predict that, but I don't think it's going to be a problem. Just by the way his mindset is, just by the way that he carries himself and how he works in the off season. I mean, he's looking like he is in amazing shape. So he has taken this off season very seriously. And he even said, maybe at FanFest. He said that he took off like a month after baseball, or the longest he's done in a long time, and then got back into it. So I'm ready for some Jackson Merrill this year. Now, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but Gavin Sheets has been added to the 40-man roster for the Padres, meaning it's much easier for him to then get onto the roster because he's already on the 40-man roster. And Gavin Sheets, you know, we heard from him in spring training, but he was actually talking to Sam Levitt in the clubhouse earlier today after he learned he was going to be on the 40-man roster. And here's what Sam's conversation was with Gavin Sheets.
You did a pretty solid spring. How would you kind of react to the news that you had your contract selected today?
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, that was obviously the goal I had when I got here, and you know, to get notified by the front office and everything. It, you know, feels the hard work that was put in, and just excited about the opportunity to be here and to have the contract selected.
Have they told you if you'll be on the roster, or is that something that comes later?
I think that's something that'll all come going forward, but no, obviously that was the initial news was just the, you know, getting on the 40-man, getting on the roster, and excited to have that news.
And how exciting is it to kind of be a part of this group, knowing the role that you could fill and what we
talked about? Yeah, that's why I came here. That's why I wanted to be here. You look around this clubhouse and you look around what this team has, and the excitement of last year, and obviously what we want to build on. And you know, it feels good to start using the word we, and you know, look at what's ahead, and you know, be a part of this.
When did they tell you?
I was notified this morning when everything was the moves were made and everything. So no, it's exciting.
Who did you share the news with first?
Family, obviously. Family, my wife. You know, obviously talked to my agent as well, and he notified me with some things. And but yeah, just letting the family know that you know, we're selected and can start getting excited for the season.
What were some of the reactions that you got from your family?
Just excitement. Excitement. You know, haven't been in this position the last couple of years. You know, everything's been, you know, kind of different spring training, coming in to compete for a spot, compete for a job on the team. And no, so it feels good.
What is, how much have you enjoyed kind of the, you've talked a little bit about working with the hitting group here and kind of making some tweaks, some changes. Like, what's that process been like for you?
It's been incredible. You know, obviously just from the results as of late, but just working with these guys and buying into what they were doing from day one. You know, I know even when I was scuffing a little bit at the plate, just buying into what they were doing, knowing that at the end of the day, that's what was going to get me to the next level. And, you know, obviously seeing the results on the field is awesome, but, you know, I just knew the work we were putting in, and I was buying into what they were teaching. And so it's been fun to see this day come and just relying on these guys.
You've been going pretty well for a few weeks now, but when you homered off Luis Castillo the other day, pitcher of his caliber, even though it's spring, what did that tell you about where you are?
Yeah, and it was a breaking ball down, which is, you know, some of the work that we've been doing. So obviously the other ones have been some high heaters and stuff, and so to get a breaking ball down and just the work that we've been doing behind the scenes on pitches like that and some of the mechanical changes that we've made to be able to handle those pitches. So that was, you know, regardless of who it was, but to get that pitch and be able to put that swing on it, that was the most rewarding part.
Breaking balls down, were they a focus for you coming into camp? Or this
off? Yeah, just kind of the mechanical move you had to make to them, staying in the zone, being athletic as a hitter, getting into my legs a little bit more with better posture. And, yeah, to see it come in that moment with a two-strike count, that was awesome.
All right, that was Gavin Sheets with the media earlier today. I said it was with Sammy Lev, but Sammy Lev was there. I was not aware we were going to have so many of the other reporters doing things right there. But Gavin Sheets, I think it makes sense for him to make the 40-man roster, at least be put on the 40-man roster because of what we've seen. And I see a lot of fans also saying that saying that Gavin Sheets seems like a good dude, and they're really hoping for him to be good this year. And we'll see. But he certainly, again, attitude says it all. Attitude is what you need. If you have a good attitude, it makes a lot of things easier. Dominic says, why do so many athletes talk in the same cadence? Do they all have to take a class or something? You know, I thought about this for a long time ago. And then I was told by a former professional athlete that the reason sometimes athletes all sound the same is because even though I was born to talk and be on the radio, they were born to hit and they were born to do whatever they need to do on the baseball field. And so it's not their number one thing that they want to do is do interviews, but that's why they all have the same cadence. I think it is funny as well. I mean, it's most of the time it's a lot of cliche and a lot of maybe, you know, not really giving anything away while saying a lot of words, but I appreciate any athlete who gives us time. And Gavin Sheets gave us time out there in Peoria. Just go to 973thefansd.com. You can see the two blog posts up there with all of the different videos. And, you know, you heard Gavin Sheets there being super excited and happy and feeling accomplished. Well, one Padre player, I'm not going to say who it was because I think that's mean, but one Padre player we saw, you know, get released, and we saw the walkout, and it was sad. It was really, really sad to see that because this guy's dream might be over. He's walking away, you know, getting on his phone, probably telling his wife or whoever it is that's close to him that he just lost his job. So with the highs of the job, there are also very low lows, and I saw that go down, and it kind of hit me right in the face. It did when I was watching them walk out because they looked pretty disappointed with the decision to let them go, which, you know, if you believe in yourself, you would be disappointed. All right, that's it for this segment. When we get back, Chris is going to join us here on 97.3 The Fan.